this is an environment that I've never been a part of, and it does not feel like work when you're here. It doesn't feel like coworkers. It feels like a family.
From UW-Tacoma, this is Pod Defiance.
Welcome to Pod Defiance, where we don't lecture, but we do educate. I'm Eric Wilson Edge. Today on the pod, a conversation with five UW-Tacoma alumni. All work at Tacoma's Multicultural Child and Family Hope Center. The center helps children and families, whether that's through early learning, childcare, mentoring, transitional housing, as well as a host of other programs and services. In this episode, we'll talk with the group about their time at UW-Tacoma and how that informed their choice of career. We'll also discuss their work, the impact it has on them and on the larger community. Finally, we talk about the role of education, its impact on their lives, and the importance of continuing to learn.
My name is Brian Neal. I work, I do operations at the Multicultural Center. I graduated in 2012, and it feels weird saying that. And I graduated from the Environmental Science Department.
My name is Marissa Guerrero. I'm a family support specialist. I graduated in 2016, and I majored in psychology.
My name is Roxy Magno. I help supervise any of like our wraparound services and family support services at Multicultural. I graduated from UWT in 2015 with a social work major.
My name is Amalia Perez. I graduated from UWT in 2014 with a major with a bachelor's in social welfare, and I am over the early learning programs here at the Multicultural Center.
My name is Peter Cameron, Special Projects Manager. I graduated in 2006 with a degree in philosophy.
I noticed there's a lot of people who graduated from UW-Tacoma who work at the Hope Center. Why do you think that is?
There's a lot of people that work here just in general because the work is meaningful. It fills your cup. And it feels like you're giving back too, which is really important. As to that meaning.
I personally feel like God has like brought us all together. And when there's good work, there's people that are placed and brought, you know, together. But I know that Multicultural is very interconnected in the community. And so I feel like all of us have been brought into a position with Multicultural because of some kind of previous connection or program or partnership or whatever. I came through an internship. Roxy was previously in a job that was doing similar work as us here. And then once she applied here, she got added to a different, was like, no, you're meant to do this kind of a work instead. Peter came through us through a relationship with his mom, you know, and so on and so on. So I think just the interconnectedness, I think, really speaks to how well we came to Tacoma. UWT, that is our community, and then we've just stayed. It could have been committed to staying and serving our community.
I definitely echo and agree with a lot of that too. I think it comes down to like our investment in the community and how much we really value that as being something like to our core that we enjoy. And so I know like for myself, like I wanted to go to university that was in my neighborhood too, that was really close by, because I think that's really cool how just strategically placed a university is in the middle of downtown in Tacoma. So I thought that was a really cool piece of going to UW, and then to turn around and work afterwards in somewhere that is just as invested in the community and embedded right in the heart of Tacoma. Also, it just really like naturally aligned. And I think all of us like share that core value of community and reinvesting back into like where we're from.
Yeah, I think people that go to UW-Tacoma are Tacoma people. Like, let's just face it, the majority of the people are, you know, from here. And I think they want to stay in Tacoma. Tacoma's the heart. And I think that Multicultural encompasses a lot of that. So
I think that UW Tacoma is really invested inside of the Tacoma community. So whether it's a spring breakaway trip, whether it's the BSU giving back to the community, the environmental science department, I know that they worked at Urban Waters. So really the foundation of UW Tacoma is that they give back to the community and they help out their community as much as possible, individually through the departments, but as you know, just the school as a whole really is invested inside of Tacoma.
There's some overlap between most of you. Did you know each other before you started working here?
No, we joke about that all the time, that Amalia and my life was parallel for so long. And UW was definitely a piece of that, too, because we were just, like, within quarters of each other. Mm-hmm. So, like, 'cause she started at Seattle also, and I ended at Seattle.
Yeah, so lots. So, mm-hmm. And I think Brian's last year on campus was my first year there after transferring there, something like that. So, yeah.
That was part of the first freshman group that went to UWT. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
cool. One of the things I'm interested in is how people end up doing what they do. So let's talk for a second about sort of the majors you got at UW Tacoma, and then how you ended up working at the Hope Center and what brought you here.
I actually started volunteering here, probably in like elementary school. My mom she started the Multicultural Center, so. She really had me volunteering here a lot. And then, you know, going through high school and, you know, working two jobs, I was at UWT, really just wanted to give back to the community so much. I think that really it was instilled in me as young, but also at UWT, working with like Shauna Lawson, for example, she really had us in the community a lot. A lot. So things like that. You know, I loved environmental science. I loved working inside the lab and doing that. But it was really about giving back to the community where I came from.
I started studying philosophy because my brother studied it, and I'm really glad I did. It served me well. During the pandemic, you know, everybody was isolated, and I reevaluated everything, and. In that reevaluation, I realized that what was most valuable and most meaning was community. You know, people were becoming more and more isolated even before the pandemic, and that pandemic just accelerated it. So through that need to find community and a little bit of luck led me here to Multicultural, and I can think of no better example of community.
So I went into the social work major kind of for two reasons. So the household and family I grew up with, that was just kind of like a part of what we did. So growing up, like our home was always that open door policy. My mom always taught me that not everyone has two parents like how you have. And so we will be those parents for everyone and anyone that needs them. So there was like always someone else living in our house, always someone else there for dinner or just someone else around too. And so it was very aligned with what social work was. And my mom wanted to do chemical dependency. So she went back to school and finished her high school diploma and started her college degree when I was going into college for the first time, too. So we were at Pierce, actually, together doing prereqs, which is a really cool like experience to do. And she wanted to work with at-risk youth to do substance support. But she passed before she got to actually start working. So I knew for sure, like, I'm definitely going into social work. So that was a big, like, family reason as to why I ended up in my degree. But I also started working at a preschool center somewhere else in Tacoma, and it was not as community focused and centered as we are. And I definitely saw the disparity of before I even knew anything about like childcare subsidy and who qualifies for free programs or anything like that. It was just a job I got because I was young. I think I was like 19. Didn't know much about the system in that regard, but I definitely saw the difference of how they treated the kids and the families, who was paying private pay and who was there because the state was helping them. And so I looked more into that and I figured out like, okay, I need to be in the social work world because it's impacting our schools and our families. But the way to actually make change and to start shaking up some rooms is to go after social work. So I really liked the macro approach, the community-centered approach instead. And so having that core from my mom half the time when I do the work, I don't feel like it's me, really. I think it's from long before me that I was supposed to be doing this.
My path started really like back and forth. When I first graduated, I was like, I started at Pierce for nursing, and then I quickly realized I can't do blood. So then I reassessed, and I was like, okay, well, I'll try business. Didn't do good with business. Had to reassess again. And then I finally realized that I wanted to do something where I could give back to my community. One of the big reasons why I wanted to stay in Tacoma, especially in the heart of Tacoma. And so it kind of, it took me about 6 years to get to multicultural. But before then I was working with young adults, and I was helping them with getting into careers and employment. So I've kind of been in this sector for 6 years, finally in a new type of position. But I mean, everything is giving back to the community, and it's something that I could be proud of at the end of the day.
So I wonder if we can take a second and maybe talk about or describe what a good day at work looks like for you.
A good day for me is, well, not just connecting with the families, but making sure that they are in a place where they feel comfortable enough to tell me, hey, I'm okay, or hey, I need some help with this, and I'm going to be able to help them out. I've only been here since, September? Mm-hmm. So I want to say I've had majority of my good days. Haven't really seen my bad days yet. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it keeps it like that.
A good day for me here. I would say when I leave with some balance. There's a lot of programs that we do here, and Family Support has our hands in almost all of them. And so I definitely feel like myself and other Family Support, we can get pulled in a lot of ways to make sure we are serving everyone. And so a good day for me is when I feel there has been a balance of every program that we interact with, someone got served out of. I got to be in the classrooms. I got to love on some babies. I got to hang with the kids. I got to hang in the parking lot, connect with a family, you know, hug on parents too, and let them know I see them, and I hope you're doing good too. So I think just touching a little bit of everything we do in a day, being able to laugh with my coworkers and catch up with that too, because this is like family here too. And so we definitely check in with each other often. And so, yeah, I think that's, that makes for a good day, is the balance.
Yeah. To piggyback off of Roxy, I think a good day for me is when there's something hard that one or a group of us or all of us has to do. And that could be helping a parent move their stuff from a shelter to a house, or moving 13 pallets of diapers, or you know, having to go pick someone up from somewhere or something. But then we all, when the day ends, when we all like were able to chip in, help or complete whatever that task was, and then be able to like laugh about it after, about like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we did that. That's like a, I think, a good day. Sometimes it's a family engagement night or a youth, you know, mental health event that we put on or something like that. And when we all can at the end of the day, like, whew, like we might have been stressed during the day or the weeks leading up to it, but then at the end of it, we can like, you know, kind of wash our hands of like, wow, we did that. And then celebrate each other and the work that we're doing and will continue to do or have the potential to do in the near future is always fills your cup.
Good day for work. Or a good day at work for me would be when I'm not stuck in front of the computer all day. Getting out, interacting with kiddos and coworkers. Yeah, that's where it's at. There definitely are days when I'm just, there's something that's in dire need of being finished, and I'm planted in that seat.
I think a good day is every day. I feel like we're too blessed to be stressed. You know, we get paid to help people. So how could you be stressed about that? We really get to give people hope But we really get to give people hope every day. So we're really lucky that we're able to do that.
Are you the... Judging by the way they're... Are you the eternal optimist?
Yep, definitely. I should have been a hippie.
So, like, let's say you step on a nail and not, you're like, rather getting mad that you stepped on a nail, you're like, oh, I actually needed a nail.
At least I didn't step on two nails.
Wow.
Come prepared to every party.
So how you two? So you were some good-natured teasing here.
Yes.
Was that because Brian here is always in a good mood, or?
Okay.
Truth be told.
Somebody's in a bad mood.
If you need it given to you straight, Brian is your guy.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's also going to take care of it all. And he's going to do it with that chuckle also. You got it. It's up to you to determine what that chuckle means.
That is a nuanced answer. Yeah. Are you the boss?
He's just a man of
around.
Yeah, he's a man of very few words. So it's funny to hear like these slogan. Yeah.
Yeah. Every day is a good day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Turn that frown upside down.
Yeah. And then let's sort of do the opposite. You know, what's maybe not a bad day, but what's a little bit harder day, or what's a challenging day look like here?
I mean, one of those people that like flips your question and still has the positive to it. We just
are you gonna politician me right now?
A little bit. We're good at that. I don't know. Multicultural. It is really hard to have a bad day. We have really really strong teams. It's so cliche, but we are like a family. So even when you butt heads with your family, it's still your family. So it doesn't really matter. The same way as in like a normal workspace too, but the same way that Amalia said at the end of a good day, we sit around and be like, wow, I can't believe we did that. We will do that at the end of a day that could have been perceived as bad too. But then we'll just sit around and be like, dang, can you believe that we're doing this? You know? And you really do have to laugh it off because this work is tiresome. The like emotion fatigue and compassion fatigue is real. And if you leave out of a day where you said that was a bad day at work, you're going to start your day like that too. And our families are going to feel it. The community is going to feel it. So it's really like impossible for us to sit here and even believe that we could have a bad day. We just can't do that.
Did you pay her? It's
contagious.
Someone tell me
the positivity is.
I mean, to give context, like what a rough day could look like is if we have to call CPS or if a parent relapses in their recovery or, you know, something like that. But like Roxy was saying, I think why it turns at the end of the day around to be like, okay, good days, because we can still do something about it. We have a recovery center. We have resources we can send families to. We can, even when CPS has to be called, we wrap around that family and say, hey, but these are the things that we're going to, like come to you with, or still, we're still here. We're not judging you because of this. This is just our job. And now we can move forward in this kind of a way. And so it really is like a balance because there are tough things that we have to do. Social work is, there are days you have to do hard things, but our team is so resourceful or, interconnected into other programs that we can still be like, okay, but then let's look at this. So that's what makes it not end all crazy struggle.
I think it'd be back to the answer of what a good day looks like. It's the bad days when I'm stuck in front of a screen all day, not being able to connect with people. Because again, that's the community aspect, is you're connected. Mm-hmm. So to that effect, there really aren't that many bad days because there's always an opportunity to connect and there's always an opportunity to hang out here with the kiddos or something. It really does help fill the cup.
Like I said, we don't have any bad days. We're lucky because our families, you know, you have to have ups and downs. When they have their downs, we're there for them. When they have their ups, we're there for them. So no matter what, we're always there for our community. and our coworkers are always here for us too. Take it, no, every time they want someone, I'm gonna tell them no now. Nope.
I really, it's weird how much you guys don't get along.
Right?
I'm not anyone in this room.
How much do you hate them?
But to piggybacking off of Amalia, one thing that she said is we don't really have bad days, we have rough days. For me, when I say rough days, it's more of my internal stress that I put on myself. Like when I'm handling situations and I'm always in that like fight or flight, until it gets done. But this is an environment that I've never been a part of. And it does not feel like work when you're here. It doesn't feel like coworkers. It feels like a family. And that's one thing that I really appreciate. And then at the end of the day, like I just got to step back and realize all of the things that we're doing for our community. We've, like Roxy said, we have our hands in so many different pots. So like when you step back, it's really amazing to see what kind of work you're doing.
Usually we'll say like, if you don't get something done, you can't really stress about that. Cause like, well, that's good job security. Cause we got something to come back to tomorrow. Like we'll just finish it tomorrow. Like, I think we've like, at some points, like talked about that with each other before. Like, well, okay, the good thing we got tomorrow. We can just like handle it tomorrow. So.
For each of you, I wonder if we could talk about, you know, the role of education in your life, and as well as talking about overall, you know, sort of the value of education.
So education in my life experience so far has been like an open door, an opportunity to step into different things in my life or experiences in my life with a different lens. And so in the social work program, you're taught all this textbook level stuff of what the field is supposed to look like. And a lot of that is great foundation. And then you're given the opportunity to then go into these workspaces or internship spaces or community spaces that then allow you to take what you learned and just apply it at a different level. I think especially for first generation students or students of color or students that had to work hard to get through, you know, college. It's, education stands as like a symbol, as a symbol of like you can finish something. It's a big accomplishment. You can choose to edit this out or not, but I say like a university level education is an expensive piece of paper to prove that you can finish something. But when you do finish it, it is great to, you know, go out into the work and apply everything that you've done. I think anything that any avenue of obtaining education that allows you to think outside of yourself or experience something outside of your own experience is so important, because when you go out into the workforce, you're interacting with different people from different walks of life or different professional focuses and stuff like that, and you have to know how to navigate through all of that. So that's where I see education playing a big part in training you up to be ready for all of that.
Well, that was the wrong.
Education, I think it's of the utmost value. I'm a what you call a lifelong learner. I think everything to a certain degree is fascinating, and so we're blessed to have access to so much information and sort of curse as well. But education seems to be one of the main reasons we're here on this earth. Learn and grow through learning.
I think education is really important. I think that, you know, we're forced to learn what we have to learn is through elementary school, through preschool all the way up to high school. And we're forced to learn those subjects. But then after that, we get to choose what we get to learn, whether it's going to a traditional college or even now, which is important today for people to go to a technical college, you know, the ones that weren't into school as much. So just getting that foundation of how to learn, how to grow, so that through your lifetime you can continue to keep learning and keep growing. Just like they had said too, you know, once you get into the actual workforce, then you start to learn like exactly what you need to learn and start growing from there. So just being able to learn how to do that, and also learning how to teach other people, you know, around you. So the people that follow behind you, teaching them so that they can take your place, so that you can move forward in your career.
Education for me has opened a path for my career. Like when I first started, I had no idea this is where I was going to be, but I'm so happy that I am. It took a long time for me to navigate. I'm the first person in my family to go to college. So like even that process of, okay, doing how to do financial aid, I had to learn all of that on my own, what classes were going to transfer from a community college to a university. But like at the very end, it's like so rewarding to know that you were able to get all of that done yourself. And now you have this degree. And it's not just about having that degree, but what are you going to do with it afterward? And so I think education is important because it gives you that foundation of what you're going to be, or what you're going to expect after you graduate.
Education and going off to college and making that choice was kind of a standard in my family and my Filipino side of my family. So I'm a little bit of the black sheep and didn't go into accounting and anything to do with finance and things that pay the bills really nicely. I was the first one to say, well, I want to do social work. And so I definitely felt that adding on a degree from UW also gave me a lot of just credibility to my family of like, I'm not just out here, you know, trying to, you know, do community work and not get a paycheck, but I also went to a really competitive university that has one of the best social work programs in the country. And that's what pushed me to go off to do my master's also. And did that to just kind of say like, you know, I can look like this and also have a degree, which is also why I think it's just really important for Black and brown students to make that choice when they're ready to go off to universities, navigate the system so that you are not in incredible debt, use the system in your favor, because it does open up doors. It has your voice land differently in certain rooms. It gets you into conversations that you may not have been if you didn't have that degree, which is systemically wrong. But we have to use it in a way so that we can back and be our true authentic selves, because for some people and some work environments, and it does matter the degree that you have. And so I think that it has helped me really come into myself as a social worker too, to be a young woman of color, to have visible tattoos, to dress how I want to dress, but still have a very professional stance too, because then I can also say, well, I have my master's degree and I did it in 10 months. And that's something that's a hard accomplishment to do. And like Amalia said, like, it's something to be able to mark in yourself with your family that you have been able to accomplish something that not everyone has access to. So handle it very gently and with a lot of care, but do what you're supposed to do with it afterwards too. You know, apply your degree in every aspect that you have in your life and share, be the type of person that can give off that education to someone if they don't have the access to school, be their educator too. So it's like everyone is receiving the same thing that you did to give back.
The music you're hearing is by UW Tacoma Associate Teaching Professor Nicole Blair. Be sure to like and subscribe to our podcast. You will find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Pocket Casts.